way to do it. This is the right way. It was like everyone was forcing themselves on each other. And then when the moment came that there's sort of a build-up, you know, the band plays the right music and stuff, and then the debutante comes out on her father's arms. It's like, that's the peak. That's the moment you've been waiting for. And it happened, you know, she came out, and it just seemed like, I don't know what it seemed like, except just something so empty. And all I remember is she walking along on my father's arm, and I just noticed that she kept tripping on him. But that was the only thing. I mean, I just kept looking at that, and there was just something I wanted to experience, and it just wasn't there. So I really feel like from that moment on, just things started happening in my life to make me think twice. It's like Ranji gave an example once he saw something, and after he gave the example, he said, maybe that's an absurd thought, maybe it's not weird, but my motive is to make me think twice about things. I just felt like that's what's been happening in my life since then. And it had to stop. Like, at this conference, it's the same thing, it's just like, I'm always having to. It's almost like you think twice, and then when you come around to think for the third time, you realize that I don't want to think at all. I don't even want to think. I just want to take it as it comes. You know, for all the talk about being in the moment, being here and now, yes, it's where I want to be. It's something I want to direct myself towards as much as I can. But I really just feel like if I can just be day to day, I'm really getting somewhere. If I can just like take things in that much of a hunk of time, then I really, it's like, thank you for not letting me just like go forward so much. I had a dream once, a long time ago, and there was really no plot to the dream, but in it, Ranji was, he said, come on, let's go for a drive. And I got up and started walking, and he just like stopped me and said, man, don't go too fast. And I'd say, okay, Ranji. And then I'd sort of slow down and walk with him. But the next thing I know, the next thing I knew, he was tapping me again, and he'd go, man, don't go too fast. And it happened like repeatedly in the whole dream. And that's really so important to me because there's so many things you can hear, and especially at a conference like this, hear but how good that is from listening. It's just like a world of difference. I remember years ago, I think it was David Smith who was giving a talk on it in Denver. He just said this one thing that really gave me a sort of graphic display of what I love to experience in Satsang. And that was that, I think he said to him, Satsang wasn't so much a flow as it was a room. And you can walk into that room, and no matter what you do in that room, you're in Satsang. You're in that room called that space, and it is enclosed. And to me, that's where I want to be. And there's always an exit door. And it's clearly marked. But just to be able to come to a conference like this and experience that from so many people. Like, I love you so. And I've really seen that one of the things I love about it is just different fabrics and the feel to it, the touch, the color, the texture. And in the 20th century, they're always coming out with more and more fabrics are pretty amazing. But it doesn't matter. I mean, you take something like velvet, or you take something like whipped polyester. I mean, there's something to them both. And I just see that in every person. There's such a texture, and everyone's offering is such a richness. And some people feel like silk, and other people feel like burlap sacks. But there's something in it. It's like it's a rough feeling, or it's a smooth feeling. And just to be able to take each one of those and savor that, not just swallow it. See how it tastes to dwell on it, and yet try to stay moment to moment in that dwelling. It's like sometimes when people tell stories and that kind of stuff, I listen to it, and they keep getting sucked on, but I'm still back there enjoying that story. Like, God, I can't get over that. That was such a good story. But they've gone on. And I see that with Maji. I think sometimes I'm in awe of his speed. He's so still, which means going so fast. And sometimes when he tells a story in Saxon, there's such a bliss in it. There's such a beautiful feeling that it's only 5 or 10 minutes later that I realize that he's gone on. And I'm back there. And I don't know how it works. I don't know how it's not like he stops and says, oh, I gotta wait for Dale. But somehow he lets me sporadically I catch up with him, or he just allows me to. It's just like jumping in and out of a swimming pool. And I just pray that one day I'll just be able to stay in, to see what it's like to stay in, to fall on my back, to turn foot in the water. I might have to do all this climbing in and out. I know, for me, Maji Fatsang's been so appropriate about getting into being sick while you're on the boat. It's really to me, that's the greatest part of brothers and sisters, because there's nothing I want more now than just support from any brother or any sister, because that's all we can give each other. None of us really inspire each other, at least it's not that person inspiring you. And I just have seen, as time goes by, that we all become irresistible. I know some people for me are just so attractive. It's like, as you go on, I just feel like I've never been more lonely in my life. And yet, I've never had such an intimate connection with so if I have to, by my human nature, have some concepts, at least for a while, to carry me on to the next phase, I want to choose the concepts that I'm going to have. And undoubtedly, they're going to be the most beautiful ones that I can come up with. And I know that for me, I just trust that when it's time to drop that one, Maji will help me out. Because it's just like Maji, you start talking about money. If you hold on to the concept, it's going to get awfully rotten. It's going to get shabby around the edges with so much heat. And just as, I mean, our minds are nearly infinite. We've got that many possibilities for the way that we feel about Maji. I know that for me, sometimes Maji's like, I see him as such a daddy. And I can just run to him with my bruised knees. And sometimes he's such a pal. He's just, it's like we can just walk down the road together and whistle or something. And other times he seems like such a lover. I mean, some of the things Maji said in Satsang to all of us is so, like, X-rated. I mean, it's just, like, so embarrassingly bloody that I just can't. It's like, I almost blush. sitting in my seat way in the back, you know, crammed in between a lot of babies or whatever. It still reaches me. I know for all of us, festival, like, for me, the biggest thing about it was that every seat I had, I could never really see Margie. There was a sound tower in the way, or there was some enormous person sitting in front of me. I mean, it just seemed like, yeah, Margie, you put that person right in front of me. You couldn't have said anywhere else. But that didn't stop me from having an experience. And I know the last night was my worst seat in my deepest secret. So, I don't know how much convincing I need to just, you know, not go back. Just to let it come, let it come. And it is coming. But I guess it just seems so scary. It just seems so frightening to watch yourself die. To just watch yourself. To just bury yourself. You're just looking at your own tombstone. And your own casket. And you're watching yourself dig your grave. But deep down, I'm glad, you know. It's like, thank you, Margie. Thank you for letting me just die to this world and come alive in your world. So, well, I should have been here.